you love Israel and you're coming to the Holy Land, you need Israel's best tour guide. See Israel like you've never seen it before. Mayor Eisenman will take you around the country for an educational and fun experience. Each tourist gets a personally designed tour based on his preferences. The land of the Bible, the land of the Tanakh, comes alive in the hands of an energetic and experienced tour guide. Visit IsraelByMayor.com. That's IsraelByMayor, M-E-I-R, or email him directly at IsraelByMayor@gmail.com.
Now, the only independent news talk network in the Middle East, Israel National Radio and IsraelNationalRadio.com present The Tamar Yonah Show. Here's Tamar Yonah.
Well, you have to wonder sometimes the migration of people and history and how nations are made. And one of the very special nations in the world today is America. America is a nation that was founded on lofty ideas. It was a conglomeration of many different European peoples coming to the, quote, new world for religious freedom, for a new and better way of life. And that's maybe how you can sum up America. And the show today is going to be focusing on one theory, and that is by a researcher called Yair Davidi, who researches the migrations of the lost 10 tribes of Israel. And he's going to try to answer the question today, are at least some of the Americans one of the lost 10 tribes of Israel? Was there something in the DNA of certain people around the world in the Eastern Hemisphere, something that made them want to pick up and move to the New World? Was this something inside of them that they perhaps were originally one of the lost 10 tribes of Israel? Does that make them Jewish? No. Does it make them historically part of the lost 10 tribes? Could be, and we're going to find out about that today. We invite you with your questions and comments. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Let's hear what he has to say. You're invited to call in. Our toll-free number for all of our listeners in the United States, Canada, and Israel, 1-800-270-4288. 1-800-270-4288. You can also join us in the virtual studio, which is a chat room, where you can listen to the show through that venue. And as usual, we have people in here from all over the world. The chat room is full right now. And hi, everybody in the virtual studio. We have people in here from the United States, Canada, Israel, Australia, Europe. It's a lot of fun. And you can hear, or at least you can read, what other people are writing as the show is being broadcast, because people are writing their comments and commenting on that. You can add your own as well. Just go to our webpage at IsraelNationalRadio.com. In the upper right-hand corner of the page there is a link to the virtual studio. Just click on that, and you'll be in there in no time. And remember, you can only call into the show and only join us in the virtual studio if you're listening to the show live. That means if it's between 7 and 8 a.m. holy time right here in the land of Israel, or if it's between midnight and 1 a.m. Eastern time, or 9 to 10 p.m. Pacific time, that means that the show is being broadcast live, and we invite you to call in. So with no more further ado, let's get to the topic that we're going to tackle tonight, and that is, are at least some Americans one of the lost 10 tribes? Yair Davidi is from www.britam.org, and I'll spell that out for you so you can check it out while we're doing the interview. That's B-R-I-T-A-M, like in mother, Britam, almost like Britain. And the Britam 10 Tribes movement has given its message to tens of thousands of people all over the world, and it's regularly features and is permanently followed by 3,000 subscribers and daily visitors to its site. It's a very popular site amongst people around the world who woke up one day and for some strange reason felt compelled to study more about the Jewish people, about Israel, had this instant, had this feeling that I just love the Jewish people. I don't know why, and I need to know more, and I feel part of these people. I feel like perhaps I'm from one of the Israelite lost 10 tribes. And trying to discover what they believe are their roots. And again, we invite you to go there as well, www.britom.org. Welcome to the show, Yair Davidi.
Shalom, Tamar.
Shalom, shalom. Now, you're originally from Australia, is that correct?
Yes, but I've been in Israel since 1974, so I've forgotten a lot of work.
Over 30 years. And you've written several books on what happened to the Lost Ten Tribes of Israel. So before we go into the American focus, let's just give a very brief background for people who are not familiar with what happened to the Lost Ten Tribes. Can you just go back in history and just tell us how they got dispersed?
As we all know, originally there were 12 tribes of Israel. Actually, 13 tribes when the tribe of Joseph was divided into Ephraim and Manasseh. But we always keep a quorum of 12 in the Bible. So these 12 tribes were united under King David Solomon. Upon the death of King Solomon, his son Rehoboam, as it's translated in English, he was not acceptable to a good portion of the Israelite nation, who split us apart and set up their own kingdom. They comprised the majority of the Israelite nation. They comprised 10 tribes out of the 12 tribes. And this northern kingdom was known as the Kingdom of Israel. In the Bible, it's referred to as the Kingdom of Israel as opposed to the Kingdom of Judah in the south. It's also known as Joseph or Ephraim or as Samaria, Shomron in Hebrew, other names, but it was a separate entity altogether, and it existed alongside the southern kingdom of Judah for several hundred years, and then the Assyrians conquered it and took all of its inhabitants into exile. They transferred them to other portions of the Assyrian Empire, and from there they moved to different areas. In the process, they lost consciousness of their ancestry. They lost the remembrance of who they are, at least as far as we understand as we would understand it to be.
In other words, they assimilated into the countries and nations that they were exiled to?
Yes. Even before they were exiled, in our sense, they were already been assimilated before, even before the exile. They'd already began to worship foreign idols, foreign gods, intermingled with the other peoples and so on, and that was why they were exiled. And this process continued even more so after the time of exile, and so they moved, and so that they lost consciousness of who they were. They became the Lost Ten Tribes of Israel, and we have shown, both from historical and linguistic and mythological sources, but also according to the Bible itself, according to the Tanakh and the Jewish sources, that they moved. They moved in groups or in bodies of people from the east to the west, and over the course of time they converged in the west. They converged on the western coast of Europe and in the British Isles. And from there, many of them moved later to North America, and a good portion of the founding fathers of North America, of the USA, and also of its overall population are derived from them, from these people who ultimately can maybe trace back to the Lost Tribes of Israel.
Okay, now in your books, you I remember in one of the covers of your books, you have a chart there where the different tribes are believed to have gone, like Zvulun, the tribe of Zvulun. I think you said went to the area of Holland. Is that true?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, and then you talk about the different names of countries, like Britain comes from the word Brit Am, which is covenant of the nation. I mean, how would you translate that?
Yes, covenant of the people.
Okay, and how does that work out? And then, by the way, that's the name of your website, www.britam.org, BRITAM.org. So how do you work that out?
Well, in Isaiah 42 and chapter 42, and then also in Isaiah chapter 49, he speaks a lot about the Lost Ten Tribes, and most of chapter 49, in effect, is referring to the Lost Tribes of Israel. And he expressly refers to them as a Brit Am, as a covenant of the people. And he gives other identifying features that they will have. He expressly uses this expression, Brit Am. And we find that in the Middle Ages, the Brit Amia, or Brit Am, was another term for Britain.
Okay. So can you give us a very brief, you know, just kind of like read it off the charts, where the different tribes went according to your research?
Yes, the different tribes, like as we said, that they migrated to the west. They migrated to the west, and in the west they converged in different areas. But even during the course of their migrations, they retained some type of a cohesion, and we traced different different bodies of people who entered certain areas, and we find that they have names. They have names that relating to the tribe, Asian tribes of Israel, or to tribal clans within those names. We find a conversion of groups from the same tribe, convergent even even several hundred centuries between each other, without any knowledge of each other, but they all seem to converge on the same areas. And so we have a convergence of groups from a certain specific tribes converging on certain areas. And in addition to that, we also find in these areas where these namesakes from the tribes converged.
Okay, so read off the list.
We have Ephraim. We identify Ephraim with Britain and the USA, Manasseh with the USA, Reuben with France, the Shimeon amongst the in the British Isles amongst the Welsh and the Irish. Levi was amongst the present-day Jewish people. Most of Judah is also amongst the present-day Jewish people. Issachar amongst the Swiss. The Zebulun amongst in the Netherlands, in Holland, as we said. Gad amongst Swedes in Sweden. Asher amongst the Scots and also in Finland. Benjamin amongst the Belgae and Normans. In other words, now mainly in the British Isles, and also amongst the Jews. Most of Benjamin remained in the Southern Kingdom with the tribe of Judah. Dan, in Denmark. Denmark itself was named after the tribe of Dan, and also in Ireland. Naphtali amongst the Norwegians.
And there's a question someone's instant messaging me right now. They want to know if any of the tribes maybe migrated towards the Oriental countries like Japan, China, etc.
Yes and no. On our website, we have several articles explaining this. The Lost Tribes, when they went into exile for a period that they were driven to the north, beyond the Caucasus Mountains and to the north and to the east, but it's not the previous USSR, CSS, Central Asian area. Some of them were also pushed to the east. They entered Afghanistan and the western regions of China, but from there they moved. They stayed together and they moved. They pushed out with the invasions of the Huns and other movements. So moved from there, they moved to the west. But they did. But may have left. They may have left remnants behind them. Also, they left. There were legends and the namesakes and cultural features that show their presence to have been in those regions. And it may also be that physically they also left offshoots from them in those areas. But we find that they're only in the West, only amongst Western peoples, did they have achieve their Israelite expression as it had been predicted in the Tanakh and in other sources, in rabbinical sources, that they would do so.
We were talking, I was talking with some guests before this week, that one of them was saying that perhaps there's this very fierce tribe that lives in the Afghanistan, Pakistan area called the Pathans, which is spelled Pathans. Do you have any information about them? Could they have once been Jews, thousands of years ago?
No. We do not think that they are Israelites or Jews. We distinguish the name Jew actually refers to former inhabitants of the Kingdom of Judah.
Okay, but we refer to the
Israelites, maybe? So they are claims of the Pathans. Pathans are in effect identical with what it's called the Afghans. They are the majority of the Taliban, the extreme Muslims. They're those people who hate the West and are against, on the whole, anti-Semitic. They're against the Jewish people. They would destroy the state of Israel if they could. And these people are not descended from Israelites, but in the region where they were. In the region where they were, before they came in, there was a people known as the Children of Israel, B'nai Israel. And there were Israelites in that region, and then they moved out. When these other people came in, the neighbors continued to apply the name B'nai Israel to them, and from this because of this, they took their name upon themselves because the neighbors applied it to them. Afterwards, some Jews were forced to convert to Islam, Jews in Afghanistan, and they were taken into the tribal complex, and the customs and so on that they'd picked up. Also, not only Jews, but members of a movement to become Jewish just before they became Muslim had also been absorbed by them, and they picked up, they absorbed the cultural features and the traditions from these other people, just like they have a habit of absorbing the traditions from everyone around them. They also, not only do they believe that they're descended from Israel, they also believe that they're descended from Esav, because in Jewish and apparently Muslim tradition, Esav is connected with Rome. Nefer was a great people and made them related
to
great people.
It's connected with Rome, R-O-M-E, Rome, Italy.
Yes,
yes.
They're like
okay.
The Jews have a tradition that the Romans are descended from Esau. Apparently mm-hmm. The Muslims also picked up this tradition, and in their eyes this was a great thing, was a good thing, so they too took upon themselves the idea that they are related not only to the Jews, also to Esau, also to the people of Nebuchadnezzar, also to Genghis Khan, to all kinds of people, who were to Alexander the Great, all kinds of to whosoever was in the region at any time, they claimed to be related to them, as did all, as it was the custom amongst all the peoples of that area to try and attribute to themselves renowned ancestors.
And what about the Shevet Menashe from northeast India, from that area?
So the Shevet Menashe, we do not think that they descended from Israelites, but we're not certain. It may be that certain Israelites did reach that area. We're taking the Israelites, as we said before, Israelites were in that region. They mostly went to the west. Some of them may have stayed behind. And these people from Menashe, we may be somehow either related to them or they may not be. We're not involved in that.
All right, so if anybody just tuned in, we're speaking with researcher Yair Davidi, and he's from www.britam.org. He has written several books on the migration of the Lost Ten Tribes, where he believes that they went to, and you're one of the most experts in the world on where they may have migrated.
Point of historical interest, Tamar. When the State of Israel was declared and then it was agreed to in the United Nations, in the vote of the United Nations, and all the nations of the world had to vote whether they recognized the State of Israel or not, so Afghanistan was the first nation to vote against the State of Israel, and Australia, where we trace some of the Lost Ten Tribes to also have been found because they're related to people in the West, Australia was the first nation to vote for the State of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So, and one of our, we have several criterions determining as who is a descendant from Israel and who is not. And one of the criteria we use is a relative absence of anti-Semitism, a relative tendency to sympathize with the Jews and to identify with them. And when this we find it amongst Western peoples and not amongst Eastern ones.
All right. So now let's take the assumption of, you know, what you write in your books, that the Ten Tribes did migrate west. That means towards Europe and in Europe. And then you had the discovery of the New World, and new colonies are being formed there. And there are, it takes a certain breed of people to leave culture and to go across the ocean when they knew that they would probably never see their families again. They didn't have telephones. The mail was horrible. The ships would sink in the sea, never to be heard from again. And yet, there were many people who went overseas, went to America. So are you saying that this drive that entered certain people in Europe may be something, I don't know, how would you describe it, as genetic or spiritual, that made these people leave, and that perhaps, are you saying that these are the people who stem from the Lost Ten Tribes?
Yes, that is what I'm saying, and we also have historical or social historical studies have been done on this subject. For instance, we say that the Germans are not from the Lost Tribes of Israel, but in Germany, a good portion of the tribes did pass through in their migrations westward. There was a period when a good portion of them were in Germany, and then in the 1700s and 1800s, there was a massive outflow from Germany across the seas to the USA, and the German officials at the time remarked that those who were going to the USA, going to America, were different from those who stayed behind. They were different, even physically they were different. They were different in their sociological background, in their outlook on life, in very many ways they were different from those who stayed behind. And you would have the case where you'd have two villages, one beside each other, everyone from one village would pack up and go, leave all together, and everyone from the neighbouring village would stay behind. And so they cannot explain the migrations through economic pushes and other causes, even though these also played a part. It was more a response to these people who saw as if an instinctive drive, an instinctive urge to get up and leave as quickly as possible, however possible, and to cross the seas to America.
For religious freedom.
And this, to freedom and so on. And this phenomenon occurred all over Europe, but in Germany it's documented more, and it's more blatant, as if to say, the differences between those who left and those who remained.
So what you're saying, basically, I'm just thinking of this right now, is that the pilgrims were probably, according to what you would state, would have been part of the Lost Ten Tribe pilgrims.
Yes, definitely. And they also had an Israelite consciousness. They believed in the Bible. Many of them were pro-Jewish. A lot of them practiced aspects of Jewish law, the Mosaic law, as I understood it. Some of them learned Hebrew. They were quite scholarly in that respect. And some of them had a consciousness that they were somehow either related to the ancient Israelites. They themselves said it, and you find this in their writings. And these writings can be explained by simply people learning the Bible and internalizing the biblical message and identifying with it. But even so, there's something beyond that, something as if they felt a physical connection with the ancient Hebrews.
This is fascinating because, we know if you learn about history that I think in the Liberty Bell is Hebrew, and there was some big debate in the making of the, when they broke away from England to make the United States of America, there was a debate whether they should have the language in America be officially English or Hebrew. There was a debate about it. English won out. But this is very interesting, and they always talk about the, quote, Judeo-Christian values that exist in America. So it seems to fit in with your research there. That's quite fascinating. And again, we're speaking with Yair Davidi from www.britam.org. He does research on where the Lost Ten Tribes may have migrated. So we have like another 60 seconds until we need to take a break. How do you want to sum up this segment then that we've done?
Well, we said that the Lost Tribes were moved from the east to the west. They converged in certain areas, and in these areas we can identify them according to their approximate Asian tribal Israelite identities.
All right. Fine. So now did you think that this was a spiritual drive? In other words, like, why does God want the people to go west? Why are we going west?
The Almighty had his reasons for causing the Lost Tribes to lose their identity. And they had we just read to the Parshat Balak in Numbers chapters 20 to 25 and onwards, and there we have the predictions that the Israelites would become a great and powerful people, the most powerful people in the world, and that all other peoples in the world would be dependent upon them. They had
go ahead, finish your sentence.
Okay, they had a goal in history to play that the divine providence wanted them to fulfill, and they had to fulfill it from those areas. So that is why, through external circumstances, pushed them into that region. They had to go there.
We're going to stop there. We're going to be back, and we'll take your phone calls. Do you agree, disagree? 1-800-270-4288.
Mikvahcalendar.com is your rabbinically approved personal guide to Torah to Mishpacha observance. Times and dates are automatically calculated and explained in English and Hebrew. Anywhere you are, sunrise and sunset are automatically adjusted. Receive email or text messages for important dates and times. May divine blessings of spiritual and material well-being continue to rain down and permeate your marriage and your home. Visit www.mikvahcalendar.com. That's MIKVAHCALENDAR.com.
Camp Moshe Vav Wild Rose is excited to announce the opening of our new Aquapark Adventure Playground, featuring a giant water slide, trampoline, and much more. A great tradition of fun and friendship for over 70 years in a great religious Zionist program. We offer a $1,000 new camper incentive. Space is still available for campers in grades 3 to 10. Call us at 847-674-9733 or visit moshavawildrose.org.
Now, the only independent news talk network in the Middle East, Israel National Radio and IsraelNationalRadio.com present The Tamar Yonah Show. Here's Tamar Yonah.
All right. Are Americans one of the Lost Ten Tribes, or at least some of the Americans from the Lost Ten Tribes? Is that why they've also been usually very pro-Israel in their stance? We're speaking with author and researcher Yair Davidi. He's a religious Jew, and he uses rabbinical sources, texts, and secular research as well to find out where the Lost Ten Tribes may have migrated to, and he's here joining us on the show. You're invited to call in with any comments or questions. Do you agree? Do you disagree? We want to hear from you. Our toll-free number for all of our listeners in the United States, Canada, and Israel, 1-800-270-4288. 1-800-270-4288. All right, so what does it mean, Yair Davidi, that if indeed some of the Americans did stem once from the Lost Ten Tribes of Israel, what does that mean to us today? How is this going to change our reality?
It means that it tells the people who they are. It means that ultimately in the Messianic era, the Lost Ten Tribes will return. There will be a reunification with Judah, with the Jewish people, and they will be ruled by the Messiah with the headquarters in Jerusalem. But beyond that, for the immediate present, it has the implications that they are the people of the Bible, and the Almighty speaks unto them. There's a message for them today at this time. There were things that were prophesied about them that they would do, and that may be considered even duties upon themselves. They were destined to become a light unto the nations, to elevate themselves and to elevate the other peoples with them. That to become the most powerful nation on the earth, that the very existence of other nations should be dependent upon them, upon Manasseh. We identify the USA as being dominated by the tribe of Manasseh, also Ephraim, from the tribes of Joseph. And this was one of the specific blessings given unto Joseph, that other peoples would have their very existence dependent upon him. And this is what we find that the USA has done, and we also find that the USA has elevated other peoples. It has been concerned for the welfare of other peoples, for human rights in other nations. Sometimes it has misapplied these instincts, these Israelite instincts, and sometimes, for instance, in the case of Israel, it seems to interfere when it should not do so. Nevertheless, the basic instinct is correct. The basic instinct, the basic drive in this direction is positive, and this was what was prophesied about them. It tells the person who he is. It explains how he acts as he does, how he has this historical tendency that has been proven, that is a national characteristic of the USA, may be explained from the Bible. By learning this, by being aware of this, he also realizes that this is in effect not only his blessing, his destiny, this is an obligation of his. And as an Israelite, he also should realize that the Jewish people are part of himself, are part of the same family. The Jewish people also are fulfilling their Israelite destiny. And if the Jewish people are in such a position that they need help or they could use assistance, so he, as a brother Israelite, should realize that they placed him in a position to be able to extend such assistance, because he wants him to do so. Because if the Jews need help, or if the Jews don't necessarily need help, need assistance to prevent other nations from interfering with what they are doing, so the USA, as an Israelite nation, should do what it can, as it has done in the past, to help the state of Israel. Now we have a situation where all of the nations of the world are against the state of Israel. Maybe 85% or some fantastic proportion of all UN decisions or debates and so on connect themselves with the state of Israel. Occupy themselves with what the state of Israel is doing. If in Beit El, where you live, someone builds an extra garage, it suddenly becomes an international incident.
Right.
Whereas the Arabs can do whatever they like, and people can kill whoever they like, and millions of people can be enslaved, murdered, exterminated. in the Sudan and in Ceylon and wherever you look all over the world, and no one really cares. Mm-hmm. There's a basic amongst the non-Jewish peoples there are drives both for the Jews and against the Jews, and this is this cannot be explained by rational means. It is some supernatural innate basic instinct of the human race.
All right, so in essence you're saying that according to your research that America on the whole, we're talking on a general issue of course, a general level, that America could be from the tribe of the tribes of the sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh,
yes,
and or Manasseh in English, and that they this is perhaps why Israel America has been so pro-Israel in the past, because there's this spiritual connection and America has been a light to the nations in its own way. It's become a superpower, and that it is their responsibility to support their brothers, the Jewish people here in Israel. Let's take some phone calls. We have, again, 1-800-270-4288 is the number to call in. We have joining us Crockett from the occupied territories of Oklahoma. Hi.
Hello, Tamar. How are you today?
Thank the good Lord.
Sir, I just wanted to get your point of view on something. I've studied a little bit of history, and I believe, and it's not real popular history, but I believe that Solomon was the first one to discover this land over here, and I think there's plenty of evidence that of that historically in the Native Americans and in the landscape and things. But it's interesting. I'm reading some history right now, and I hate to leave Leif Erikson out, the Norseman who came after that. But Columbus set sail just after the expulsion of the Jews from Spain. That the day after that began, he
the
set
Inquisition.
Sail. It was around the 9th of Av. In 1492.
Okay, the 9th of Av, for anyone who's not familiar, is the Hebrew date, the month of Av, and it's the 9th, and it's a day of tragedy for the Jewish people. And Crockett's talking about the Inquisition, the Spanish and Portuguese Inquisition. Go ahead.
Okay. And he had two Jews that navigated his boat. They were navigators on his boat, and they weren't the only Jews on that boat. There were some there that had converted under fear, of course, I'm sure. But these two guys, Avraham Zacuto and Joseph Vecino, they provided technical expertise that helped Columbus navigate the ocean sea. And I just wondered if you had ever heard anything. I've heard a lot more along the lines of this stuff, but I just wanted to know if you'd ever heard that.
Yes. Okay, Yair, can you answer?
Yes, it is well known. Also, those who claim or believe that Columbus himself was a Jew, was of Jewish origin. He definitely did know Hebrew, and he was familiar with Jewish writings. Also, Jews were prominent as navigators. There's a certain an astrolabe, a type of a navigating instrument, was invented by a rabbi, who was a well-known rabbi whose writings also in the rabbinical world are well-respected, Zacuto, and so on.
Can you spell his name again?
Zacuto. This isn't really my area. But that's what I know.
Just spell it for us so we can look it up.
Z A C U T O.
Okay, Z is Z. Okay, go ahead.
And it is well known. It is well known that the were Jews in the on the Columbus's boat. They even claims that a good proportion, because the sailing of Columbus was in the very year when the Jews had to get out, when they had to leave Spain. And also those Jews who had already converted to Christianity were being persecuted and they were in danger, so there were a lot of them were looking for ways to get out, and there are claims that a good proportion, maybe possibly more than half, according to some sources, of the crew of Columbus was of Jewish origin. And it definitely says that the first people who physically set foot on the new land when Columbus reached it were Jews. So this is significant. It is also significant when the Jews, in effect, were kicked out, were expelled from the land that had been their primary base in Europe. And that very year, the Americas were opened up to European settlement. There's a balance here. As for Solomon and other people and other Asian peoples having been in North America, this is a new field of study. It's a lot of work has been done on it. Our friend Stephen Collins is also an expert on this. Tam has interviewed him in the past, and this is not really our field. Our sphere of concentration is where the overwhelming majority of the Lost Land tribes are today, and how we find proof of this in their behavior as a whole, as a collective.
All right, and let's go to another caller, and thanks for your call, Crockett. 1-800-270-4288. Let's go very quickly to Pablo from California. Hi there, Pablo.
Hi, Tamara. My question is, as a person of B'nai Anasim heritage, I have a great interest in this subject, and I wanted to know if you heard about the connection about American Indians being supposedly from the Lost Tribe. Is there any evidence of that?
Okay, thanks for your question. Get your ear.
There's quite a bit of evidence in that direction. Stephen Collins has written about it, so has our friend Walt Balcom. We actually sell a book that we ourselves published on this, mainly on this topic, by Walt Balcom. And on our website, you may find more information concerning this, concerning the Israelites having been in North America from in the time of Solomon, also through the Phoenician sailors and so on. There is definite evidence in this direction, but we prefer to keep away from it. We prefer not to concentrate in that area, but rather to concentrate concerning the more on the European side. The Europeans who did settle in North America on the whole were from the Lost Tribes of Israel, or at least a predominant influence amongst them, also in the physical sense, in the genetic sense, was from the Tribes of Israel, and they gave expression to the Israelite heritage in that way. Concerning the Anusim, we also find a connection between these Anusim who were in effect Jews, who were forced to become Christians, and in the end times they will return. Don Isaac Abavna was the chief rabbi of Old Spain at the time of their conversion, the time of the expulsion of the Jews from Spain, and he wrote extensively on this subject. He also wrote about the Lost Ten Tribes, and he brings the biblical verses and so on, connecting the return or the reconciliation of these Anusim, we prefer to call them captive Jews, together with the return of the Lost Tribes of Israel. There's an identity of interest there, an identity of fate, as if to say, of a future redemption of both groups, above the Anusim, the captive Jews, and the Lost Ten Tribes of Israel will return, and we will have their identity known unto them, and they will be reconciled with Judah and with the God of Israel.
Okay, how does that work out? Can you quote the biblical text where it says, where our prophets talk about the reunification of the ten tribes, the Lost Ten Tribes, back with the Jewish people, and how they let go of their false gods that they picked up along the way amongst their migrations, and how they're going to return to Israel and the Jewish people?
Okay, so most of the Bible biblical books speak about it. Ezekiel especially speaks on this subject. Ezekiel chapter 11 and chapter 12, it says that in effect that the Jews, the Jewish people themselves, in order to receive a complete redemption, need to help the Lost Ten Tribes and need to reach out unto them, and that the Lost Ten Tribes, when they return at the beginning, will be in simple language idolaters, or they will not be worshipping the God as they should do. And we should know that this has been predicted. Later, throughout the book of Ezekiel, he returns to this theme, especially in chapter 37. He speaks of the two sticks of Joseph and of Judah rejoining together and being one kingdom. We also find the book of Isaiah, throughout the book of Isaiah. But, for instance, in chapter 11, he speaks of Judah and Joseph rejoining each other, and that if they says that Ephraim will no longer persecute Judah, be jealous of Judah, and Judah will no longer vex Ephraim. This too indicates that even though characteristics of the Lost Ten Tribes is a basic philo-Semitism, a basic sympathy for the Jews, there will also be fiction between them at times, and some of them will not be as pro-Jewish as they should be, and also perhaps the Jews will not be as sympathetic towards them as they should be, and that these problems will be solved in the end times, in the time of the Messiah, when they will reunite.
So where does it state in the Tanakh, in the Bible, where the 10 tribes will be gathered back to Israel, and that coming back, and we'll have the third temple around that time as well, that they will give up the strange customs and gods that they picked up along the way? Do you remember exactly which book and verse that was?
No, I can tell you this is in Ezekiel 12, he speaks of it. And then later in Ezekiel 37, he speaks of the reunification of Judah and Joseph, and of the build, and then continuing on throughout Ezekiel from there until the end of the book, including chapter 48, he speaks of the rebuilding of the temple and the redivision of the land of Israel. And incidentally, according to the Bible, the land of Israel stretches from the Nile River to the Euphrates and beyond. And that the land of Israel will be divided up into equal portions between the different tribes. The tribes, incidentally, the 12 tribes, each tribe will dwell in its own section. Even though they will reunite with Judah, it does not mean that they will come in and become Jews, become totally assimilated to the Jewish people. They will dwell alongside the Jewish people. As also in Zechariah 10 indicates, as to does the book of Micah, towards the end, that prior to that, there will be a return, a partial return from Ephraim to the area of Lebanon and Gilead or Syria, and they will establish settlements in those regions. So these are all predictions or prophecies that will happen in the future. In the future, we don't exactly know how they will come about. Perhaps the present U.S. presence in Iraq, because there's also indications that they will return from that area, from Mathur, is a precedence to this. It is something preceding this process, and however it will turn out.
All right, let me just read for our listeners what it does say in Ezekiel chapter 11. I'm reading from verse 17. Thus said the Lord Hashem Elohim, I will assemble you from the nations and gather you in from the lands where you have been scattered and give you the land of Israel. They will come there and remove all its detestations and all its abominations from it, meaning the customs that they picked up from the outside world. I will give them an undivided heart, and I will place a new spirit in them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, so that they may walk in my decrees and observe my laws and fulfill them. Then they will be a people unto me, and I will be a God for them. But those whose heart follows the heart of their detestations and abominations, I will place the consequences of their way upon their head, the word of the Lord Hashem Elohim. That is from Ezekiel chapter 11, verse number 17 and on. Let's go to another caller. We're just at the end of our show, so I'm going to ask the caller to be extremely brief and then to hang up. We have joining us Michael from Canada. Hi there, Michael.
Hi, Tamar. I had a quick statement and a question for your guest.
Okay.
First statement is it's pretty recognized that the Jews are cousins to the Arabs. They look the same. That's why Palestinians can dress up in Israeli army outfits and pretend to be Israelis and go do attacks, because we look the same, because we're cousins. British white people, French white people do not look like they fit in to the Middle East at all. They are not part of the nation of Israel. And it's just pretty obvious that this theory is incorrect. And my question is, does your guest think that any of the Hebrew Israelite theories of the different tribes coming to Puerto Rico from Africa and to the Americas during the slave trade, does he believe that any of the tribes of Israel correspond to Judah being the Black Americans, Benjamin being the West Indians, Levi being the Haitians, Simeon being the Dominicans, Zebulon being the Guatemalans, Ephraim being Puerto Ricans, Manasseh being Cubans, Gad being Native
Americans? Where are you getting
this
information from, Mike?
Just from studying and reading different archaeological and scientific books.
Okay, so thanks for your call. Do you want to comment on that,
Yes, we haven't got much time, so I'll go through it very quickly. You said they look the same. This is debatable. Most Jews can recognize Arabs straight away. Not always, but in most cases, a lot of Jews do look like Europeans. A European can pass as a Jew much more easier than an Arab can, even despite what Mike thinks. Nevertheless, it doesn't really matter, because they had all types in ancient Israel. You had all types. You had very dark types. You had very light-coloured types. You had different types amongst the different tribes. We have an article on our website on this subject, quoting rabbinical statements, quoting the biblical verses, and also showing ancient Egyptian portrayals of Israelites, that all types did exist, all physical types, all from very light people, very light-coloured skin people, blonde-head, red-head people, to very dark people, relatively speaking, dark people. So this is not, at all events, this is something for a lengthy conversation. But your assumption is incorrect. As for, in our opinion,
King
at least...
King David had red hair.
Yes, a lot of them had red hair, and the Egyptians portrayed them as having red hair. Yeah, and David himself was adding money, had red hair.
All right, so we have about 2 minutes till the end of the show. How would you like to sum everything up?
Okay, we'd like to say, incidentally, there may have been Israelites amongst the Africans and the Puerto Ricans and so on, and they may have been part of this return of this return of the Almighty predicted. We don't know the grounds for further study in this area. At all events, the lost tribes went to the west. They were, that according to the Book of Numbers, the Parshat of Balaam, they were destined to become the most powerful country in the world, or that all nations of the world should be dependent upon them. They were to be in all seas, to be rulers of the seas. They were also to be those who give a substance of existence to very many nations, to be a light unto the nations, to civilize the nations, and that is what the Bible says would happen to them. That was the Bible predicted concerning lost ten tribes, and this is where we find the USA and its and the Britain and other nations prior to that also have done. They fulfilled this task, this predicted task. And we also find that historically that peoples who we can relate back to the ancient Hebrews did settle in the areas that gave rise to them, to these nations.
Okay, and so if indeed many Americans today do stem from the last 10 tribes, you're saying that they need to reunite on a spiritual and a supportive level with the Jewish people, and they have to support, make sure that even though the Obama administration is certainly moving away from being friends with Israel and supporting Israel, that they need to make sure that America does support Israel and that they stand up for God and the Torah and not for any New World Order type of, globalism, et cetera, et cetera. Is that how you would sum it up?
Yes, exactly. This information is becoming known now in our time, because this is when it is really important, and that they have to, those who realize that they descend from Israel, or those who even feel challenged by what we are saying, should study it from themselves and decide one way or the other if there's something in it. If they decide this, should internalize the information, read the Bible, believe in good lives, and do what they can for themselves and for the Jewish people.
www.britam.org. Thanks for being with us. Yair Dvir.
Israel National Radio is a very unique presence on the World Wide Web, and it's worthy of your support. Even as little as $10 a month consistently given can make a difference. You receive a lot freely from Israel National Radio, so it makes sense to give something back, doesn't it? I can tell you that if all the listeners to Israel National Radio gave $10 a month each, we could dramatically expand the programming. I don't take much time on the program to talk about supporting the work of Israel National Radio, but I think it's important to show gratitude for the resources brought to you each day here.
Whew, I gotta get in shape. I gotta call Michael Berezin at Jerusalem Fitness.
054-625-0269.
Shalom. You've reached Michael Berezin, Jerusalem Fitness. You've taken the first step toward health and wellness. Please leave us a message and we will get back to you to schedule your free consultation.
That's Michael Berezin, Jerusalem Fitness, for classes, personal trainers, and more on Pierre Koenig Street in Jerusalem. Call Jerusalem Fitness at 054-625-0269.